Coming up on All About Android, we've got a review of LG's new G8 ThinQ. Also, we're going to go hands-on with Xiaomi's Black Shark 2, a cool little gaming handheld mobile phone. You got to see it to understand. Also, the Mi 9 phone. Detail new features in Android Q Beta 2. And get used to ads, because they're appearing in Assistant and Android TV. And probably more. Who are we kidding? All About Android is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy with one click. Yes, it's that easy. For 3 extra months free with a 1-year package, go to expressvpn.com/allaboutandroid. And by ZipRecruiter. Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple and smart. That place is ZipRecruiter, where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. Try it for free at ziprecruiter.com/android. And by Grammarly. Grammarly is a communication tool that helps people improve their writing to be mistake-free, clear, and effective. Start writing confidently by going to grammarly.com/android and get 20% off a Grammarly premium account today. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode 415, recorded on Tuesday, April 9th, 2019, your weekly source for latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Florence Ion.
And joining us in studio is... Oh, Joshua Vergara. Hey, how's it going, Joshua?
What's going on, everybody?
I was trying to like build it up to see if people thought that maybe Ron was going to be here, but no, Ron
sadly
is home,
yes,
taking care of his family.
I'm terrible at pinball, so I cannot.
Yeah,
I will never be able to replace Ron whatsoever.
But we are stoked to have you. It's great. I mean, I love it because you do not live in the Bay Area; you live in LA. Mm-hmm. Yet you almost always somehow figure out a way to make it.
It was
person.
So fortuitous, because when you sent the invite, I was like, I'm going to be here.
Yeah.
Like, let's do it again.
Cool.
Because I love being here, being able to hang out with everybody. Yeah. And of course, the audio ends up being much better that way.
Sure.
Yes, that's very true.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it's great to get you in here. You're doing the Pocket Now podcast.
Yes, I do the Pocket Now weekly. I am their main host, or I'm the host at this point. And I just want to give a quick shout out to Jules Wong. He has gone ahead and exited the Pocket Now weekly. It's now my full responsibility. So mm-hmm. I would love to have you guys on at some point as well.
Love that.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Mm-hmm. On top of personal projects, I also do some videos for Pocket Now, but I'm also working on my own stuff as well.
Good for you.
Thank you. YouTube.com/Joshua Vergara to follow all of your stuff, all of your content, which isn't just technology. Most of it is, but
I'm doing my best, but you know, the phones just can't stop.
I know, it's really kind of crazy.
People like the phones.
They really do, just too many things are coming out. Like, you can see a small section there. I tried to do some health stuff, and then some people in the comments are like, well, what about this phone?
Like, because like 95% of your followers know you from your technology background.
Give me a second to talk about keto for a second, you know? Like.
Right on. Well, that's awesome. It's awesome that you can carve out kind of that, you know, your own creative channel on the web, basically. Oh, yeah. That's even a possibility. YouTube makes mm-hmm. makes it possible.
Absolutely. And I'm so happy because since I have this sort of like solo identity now, I'm free to work with anyone and everyone that I want to, which is really the number one benefit, in my opinion. You know, and it seems like a lot of people want to work with me, hence an invite to All About Android. So
I'm
so stoked.
We
and appreciative.
Had to get Joshua on the show. We figured it was going to be very difficult because we know how busy you are traveling the world and gallivanting and such, which is like you said, part of the reason why you're here, right? And mm-hmm. we're going to talk a little bit in the news about why you were here because you went to an event with Qualcomm.
Yes.
But we've got other things, more Android-related things to talk about.
We've got a lot of things, actually. This is actually a really packed episode.
Yes, it is. Lots to talk about. And let's start with the news.
Definitely lots to talk about on Android News. Now with more bubbles.
More bubbles, because apparently Google thinks that bubbles is now and not 7 years ago.
Listen, don't look at me. I dropped my Pixel. I'm out of this game right now. I am just living with an old phone and just...
You're living off the news.
Yeah, you know, a little bit, maybe. So that I can watch you all torture yourselves. Please tell me what you're torturing yourself with this day.
Well, okay, so I do have, so apparently Google very quickly updated its Android Q beta to the beta 2. I think it took like a week and a half after their initial release something like that. So, hey, there you go. We're on beta 2. I would, dare I say, it's less stable than beta 1. I've run into more issues on this for sure than beta 1.
Really?
But I haven't been using it very frequently because I've still been on the Samsung Galaxy S10 that I've already reviewed. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't switch over my Fi back over to my Pixel until today.
Can I get a hand on that one?
Yeah, here.
Because that's the S10, not the S10 Plus.
Exactly. Yeah, this is the S10.
That's just the middle of the road.
The S10 Plus is sublime, but it's so big.
Yeah.
This feels
got a nice size to it.
Okay. Samsung makes really big phones. And then I drop them on my foot, and that hurts, by the way.
I have not been using the beta whatsoever.
Okay.
So I'm pretty, this is all news to me.
Okay.
And I have to say, I have some very strong feelings about, a couple more stories in, but.
So it seems like one of the big key features of the beta 2 update is something called Bubbles. And this is not a new concept in the world of Android, but apparently Google is embracing it. And if you... Sorry, go away, Google. I didn't just wake you up with my voice. It's not like we haven't already seen this. If you have the Android dialer, the phone app, the stock phone app, and you get a call, you get a little bubble,
on my Pixel.
Right? So you get a little, yes. Okay.
Sorry.
This will keep coming up.
I'm sorry.
I know.
I get it. I'm sorry. Thanks for letting me get that in there.
This is your last episode of having a broken Pixel before you ship it back. So you're allowed.
Yes. Thank you.
But if you get a call and you have that stock dialer installed, you get a little floating bubble, which I don't know. Floating bubbles just seems like what was that?
Like a chat head, right?
Yeah, like Facebook chat head. It's like a little bubble.
Yeah, it just screams Facebook.
Feels a little old.
Well, okay, it screams Facebook. It screams something that might be copy, but it also screams, okay, we have so many people who complain about notches and punch holes cutting into their content. How about a
floating hole?
Floating thing just covering everything else? You're trying to watch your Netflix or something and a chat head comes up.
Yeah, I'm in the bath and then somebody bothers me and then there goes my video.
Do they not know that I'm in the bath? No, thankfully they do not know that you're in the bath right now.
I should have put it on Do Not Disturb. You're right.
Yes. I'm prime Do Not Disturb territory.
You're right.
I am against these bubbles to the fullest extent.
As a UI thing, right?
Yes.
Came out, were you excited about them? Because I remember when they first started, those bubbles started popping.
They were not exciting. They were
different. It was a different kind of user paradigm.
It was like
paradigm.
The example of the kind of thing that happens to Android. It like just gets a bubble that appears out of nowhere.
Because you
what you do on Android. Yeah. But like if you were going to see that on an Apple device, it'd be like, what is this?
Yeah, why is this thing in front of my content? You know, that's what they're going to
say. It's very disruptive. It's a very disruptive UX element, in my opinion.
And I can even tell you, like, with chat heads, now that my parents are on Facebook, my mother...
She finally made it, did they?
Yes.
I left.
Yes.
There's literally a family chat right now that is just basically copied and pasted email threads from the rest of our family. So it's all sensational and all very like emotion raging. My mom copied and pasted, but the thing is the chat head only shows you the first line of the message.
Uh-huh.
And it says urgent, dangerous, blah, blah, blah. I thought she was in trouble. And it was just a warning about something super mundane when I clicked on it. I'm like, you interrupted me for that? Really? And that's what's going to happen with this. You're going to get emails. You're going to get every application that you toggle for the bubbles. You know, it's everything will interrupt you in this sense. And that's not fun. That's not cool.
Yeah, what's the point of digital well-being if you're like having all of these things popping at you and reminding you?
Yeah.
I've actually turned off notifications in the last couple of months to just keep them from, like, nothing bothers me except for a phone call, which is kind of annoying with spam callers, but at least I'm still getting the phone calls and the text messages.
Jason, think kind of how I fly too.
Think of the most useless notification or email or message you could possibly get, and now think of it popping up in front of what you're doing.
Thankfully, I have to, from what I understand, there's going to be some customization around this, right? There will be certain, A, the developers have to bake in support for this.
Don't bake it.
And
just
B,
please.
Whichever apps choose to utilize it. I'm sure I'm sure I'm not going to get a floating notification for like a Google Play Store has updated 50 apps on your phone.
Lord hopes like, not.
You know what I mean? Like, there are just Google's certain categories that I don't think are going to appear in those notifications.
But you'll get the Google Play newsletter email through Gmail. Inevitably, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's annoying too.
Okay. Yeah. Emails, probably. Yeah. Messaging. But I think you would have the ability as a user to turn this off.
Yes.
And actually, in beta 2 right now, you can't even see this unless you do an ADB command to activate it. So it's still early. Basically, from what I understand, what Google is doing here is if you take the Android dialer as the example of the Google app that does this already, they're basically saying, well, we want this to be baked into the OS in a more, you know, in a more controlled fashion than just having to code around it. So they're giving it an official spot in the OS, as it was.
You know, that might be just to keep other app makers from running rampant who do have the chat.
Who've already done for years, because this is not a new thing. It's crazy that it took this long.
It's also very much not a new thing, because on Samsung's UI, on One UI, you can actually minimize any app to be a bubble. It doesn't notify you. But it's a bubble that you float, so it's easy to get to.
Oh, right, right,
right. You can float any window.
Yeah.
Which I find very helpful when I'm in the bath. You know, just moving around different.
Slowly getting a glimpse into how this Pixel 3 broke.
Like, that was Marilyn Monroe's ghost. Watch last week's episode to understand what happened.
Other features, gesture. I'm not going to say improvements, because I don't think that it's an improvement yet. But work.
We're still complaining about Android P. Gestures.
Yes.
My gestures.
Well, yeah, I know, because a lot of people feel that the gesture implementation in P was a very like half step. It was kind of half-assed.
It's literally a half swipe.
Yeah.
Exactly. What it is. It's a half swipe.
So the change here would be swiping right on a pill would switch you to the app to the right. Swiping left would switch you to the app to the left.
Nope.
Hold on. Let me make
I don't
sure
want
I'm
it.
Because that only makes too much sense.
I don't want here. Let me just...
I'm also very resistant to change. Okay, it's in my nature.
So let's see here.
I have no reason.
Let me see if I can try it here. So if I go up to this, which you'll see later, that swipes me to...
It is smoother.
Right?
Swiping
back and forth. The way you used to do it before, you'd have to go doop, doop, and
you have the haptic
swipe
feedback
to the right, and that would toggle you between
Yeah, and
two
then
apps.
You could then you could switch between
do
the
you still
apps,
get a haptic vibration there?
When I switch,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I just felt it. I got a little kick. But you can see things are weird. Like, see down there, creeping underneath it is this little, like, creeper search.
Yeah, the search bar.
Search thing that just looks really... So, you know.
We're always watching.
These, yes, I know. Hey, I'm Google. I'm down here. What are you doing? I want to recommend something to you. but, yeah, you know, this is beta. So, give it the... The room it needs to exist.
Yeah, exactly. Let the beta process happen naturally.
Just let it happen, man.
Let's
see here. I'm going to take a screenshot to see if I can show off this next thing. So let's share. And we have a new share menu. So, and I'm hoping that it's...
We're good.
So we have a new share menu. So I took a screenshot and then I opened up to share and it gave me a little preview of what I'm sharing. And gives me, you know, contacts and apps and everything below it. I will say that it was kind of fast, too. So they're working on speeding that up. So that's good. Notification swipe direction. So if I have it up here, you can basically go in the settings and determine whether right swipes away and left is settings.
Mm.
Or left swipes away and right is settings, depending on if you're left-handed or right-handed or whatever. Personally, I don't know. I understand what they're doing. They're trying to get rid of the half swipe in order to get to settings.
Yes.
Right?
Well, also the snooze.
Well, and the snooze. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So they're making it so that one direction gives you those controls and the other direction gives you the swipe away.
That's what happened to Inbox.
Oh. Uh-huh. Well, because you know what? The snooze, I didn't know until like a month ago that had been there all these years and it could have helped me.
Probably because you never swipe that
so
way.
Busy swiping away.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I had that half swipe that I never like. Who would slow down there?
Right.
You know?
I know.
Yeah.
But very, very rarely I would.
A snooze for notifications, like that's kind of a productivity hack.
Yeah.
So I wish I knew that.
Absolutely. But they need to give you more details around that too, because if I remember correctly, let's see here, let's show it. And Inbox, I feel like, was kind of like the prime example of this.
Yes.
If I go here and I go snooze
For
1 hour, you get up to 2 hours.
A little bit of time. Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, I want more control than that.
That's true.
I want to go out, like, snooze till tomorrow. Give me snooze till tomorrow, because often I want to push things off until tomorrow. 2 hours, that's not enough to work with.
Yeah.
Anyways, maybe they'll work on that. And just real quick, notification assistant is apparently something that I only vaguely understand, but it's a way, it's similar to what Google had an app called the Reply app that would add smart replies into notifications of other apps. Similar to that, it would add buttons or adjust the priority of notifications into apps. Notification assistant is something in the settings that's being designed to facilitate that. Media notifications now have a progress bar. So if you have a music player and it has a notification, you'll actually have a progress bar. I don't know if that's interactive. I don't know if you can go like skip to three quarters. I would imagine it should be. Well, yeah, and this screenshot on Ars Technica looks like it is.
Yeah.
So I imagine you could drag that. So that's good.
You have to expand it, and then it shows up probably. And then
you know what? I like that. Yeah, I like that.
Larger volume settings menu. So
that's big.
This kind of here, I'll show you right now. In fact, I'll go and get to it.
Oh.
Here. So I'll go. There's the thing, and there's the thing. So
that's big.
Larger volume settings that appears over the top instead of taking you to the settings pane. So there you go. And lastly, that I wrote down in the beta one, if you took a screenshot and you had a notched phone, it include the notch and include the rounded corners. That is gone. Now your screenshots look normal.
No.
So
how will we make it clear to everybody that we bought this phone?
I want a notched phone.
Yeah.
I want everybody to know.
Pixel. Hashtag made with notch.
Made with notch. So that's it. Q beta 2, and I'm sure we're going to have to... Well, I imagine the next update will be closer to I.O. I.O.'s less than a month away now.
Yep.
Do you think I.O. is going to have full release or RC? You think I.O. will be RC or full release of Q?
What do you mean by full release?
Like, there's a release candidate, then it's not still full. Like,
they have, LTA. there's a schedule here.
Oh, there's a schedule. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they released a schedule. Let's get down to the bottom of the article. And so March beta 1, April beta 2, May beta 3. So beta 3.
Oh, beta
happening
3.
Sometime at the beginning of May-ish.
Okay.
And then that'll be what they show off at I.O. And yeah, the release candidates aren't happening until Q3.
Okay.
We've got some time.
It's a while.
Oh, yeah.
Which means Google's got some time to incubate on this next possible Android Q feature, which is, so 9to5 Google has spotted references to something called, quote, DeepRess, unquote, that relates to a new touchscreen classification. Now, apparently this works something like the way it works on iOS. iOS is 3D touch. I know that's like a popular thing.
Yeah, where you
apparently
push it
it's
the
a popular
screen.
Thing in the iPhone world. So the current event stream represents the user intentionally pressing harder on the screen. This classification type should be used to excel. Okay, that's just what it says in the developer. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have even read that. That's it. That's all we know.
Basically,
I was just taking up time. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. It's all good. That's how they're spelling it out. And I mean, I included that only because there's so few bits of information here that they're basically saying this is meant to be used to speed up the long press behavior that we have right now. Because if I go on my Pixel and I hold on something, it's going to pull up, like on my dialer, for example, if I hold on it, that's similar to 3D touch. On 3D touch on iOS, you would push into the icon a little bit harder and you pull up this contextual menu.
I see.
The way they did it on Android to kind of like keep up with Apple, or they probably wouldn't put it that way, is that you tap and hold
kind of
and it pulls up.
Extra long press.
Yeah. But now this would be a differentiating thing between that and going with deep press would pull it up faster, I'm guessing.
So pressure sensitivity, perhaps?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Pressure sensitivity, if you're pressing harder into the display, that menu would appear faster, or maybe it would surface a different menu when you did that.
Ooh, that could be annoying.
Hopefully customizable, though, because something we're going to talk about a little bit later actually employs that in its display. It has pressure sensitivity, so you can set things to it specifically.
Oh, does it?
Mm-hmm.
Calling forward.
It's a tease. There's a bit of a tease going on there.
I like that. I like that. And then I had mentioned a few minutes ago before we got into the news that why you were out here, you were at a Qualcomm event.
Yes.
Did it light The World on Fire.
Okay. this is not an uncommon opinion, by the way. It's kind of a weird phrase to say. I'm so high level in the sense that I look at the surface level stuff. I'm consumer products facing and whatnot. That mm-hmm. when these conferences, AI Day or anything like that, 5G Day even came up, everything that's being said on stage just
yes.
goes right over my head.
Well,
and that was exactly what happened today. So any AI talk, it basically is that we're speaking as Qualcomm, we're bolstering everything that we have on the cloud level, on the server level. We're also making a new chip that is made just for cloud computing and stuff like that. It's perfectly fine. That all makes sense. But the deep level stuff that took 3 hours to talk about, all over my head. I could not tell you a thing about it.
So you were on Twitter just searching.
Pretty much, yeah. We were all, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, AI is the big buzzword now. Like, you see it everywhere. I mean, they're even using it to describe how they're going to start making children's toys. Like, children's toys will start enabling AI or whatever. It's just like that is the big thing.
Your Barbie doll will now have machine learning.
Well, you know.
And it's fine, though. Like, they're differentiating between it because AI in general on the device or AI in the cloud, that it makes a lot of sense that you would, like, segment it because AI is too much of a catch-all phrase.
Yeah, it absolutely
just
is.
As much as cloud is, because now you have cloud gaming is becoming a thing. You have cloud... Oh, of course, streaming and whatnot. But what if you could cloud your entire OS, for example? Like, you know, maybe that's the next step.
Chrome OS?
In OS. Like, you know, it's just on the fundamental level, everything, like the device itself somehow is not going to matter so much if you can just stream everything to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's the reason why you want to have bolstered AI cloud capabilities. And I can see why Qualcomm wanted to have an entire event just for that.
Mm-hmm. And they announced during this event, at least as relates to... probably some Android devices that will float through this show.
This
in
was
the
where
future.
Most of us like propped up.
You're
this,
like,
the Snapdragon
okay. All right, fingers on the keyboard, right. ready to type.
Right.
Snapdragon 665 and 730 SoCs, mid to upper mid rangers.
I love it.
Basically, the 665 is an update to 2017 660. GPU is getting a big bump to an Adreno 610, 11 nanometer process, so you're going to get some power energy
tiny
savings.
Tiny little processors.
And then the 730 is an update to last year's 710. And that sounded like a more significant upgrade. But again, you know, once I start getting into the details, it's like, okay, well, then I'll just read these things off because this probably means something more to somebody else than me. But upgraded CPU configuration to a Cryo. Is it Cryo or Creo?
Cryo.
Cryo 470 at 2.2 gigahertz, along with six Cortex A55 cores at 1.8 gigahertz, a new Adreno 618 GPU that's going to give you 25% better performance on a device. They talked about the Hexagon 688 DSP that's going to support Qualcomm's Tensor Accelerator units. So that's going to bring machine learning on board on these mid-range devices. And we've seen a lot of that in the higher range devices. So, of course, this is trickling down. Spectra 350 ISP for improved imaging capabilities. That's exciting, right? Because that brings some of the camera capabilities that we're used to seeing on premium devices
and that's the
into
thing.
A more manageable.
That's why I love this, because the upper mid-range processors like this are going to make it so that phones that are affordable to the casual user, you can actually specialize your needs. Because too many people who want to have, let's say, a good gaming phone also have to pay for an exceptional camera at $900. But now with these processors actually prioritizing certain features, you can get a maybe $400 or $500 phone. I didn't want to say a brand there, but you can get a $400 or $500 phone that actually has good gaming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or you can have one that has the Spectra DSP that can take great photos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, I can do things like cinemagraphs and 4K 60. And differentiation in the market is going to make competition easier to proliferate. And that just makes everyone better. Mm-hmm. Because in the high end, I have three phones here. Two from China, one from Korea, that are all good.
Mm-hmm.
How do you differentiate them when there's nothing that's actually differentiating them? Mm-hmm. You know, you end up getting gimmicks, and then that's a different discussion.
We'll talk about gimmicks very soon. Yeah.
That's a different discussion for another time.
Absolutely. These are going to hit devices in the middle of this year.
Okay.
Starting.
Yep.
All right.
So, yeah. There you go. That's
sounds
Qualcomm.
Good.
Gamers, get ready.
Gamers, beware.
It's going to be more affordable soon.
All right, so let's take a break, and then we will get back, and we will talk about the big hardware announcement that happened today. It seemed like everybody just happened to know about this big release and decided at the same time to post their reviews. It's weird how the world works, isn't it?
And we'll have a review as well.
But
first, this episode of All About Android is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Admit it, you probably have said to yourself or thought to yourself that things like cybercrime, people getting, you know, their identity stolen, whatever, this is stuff that happens to other people. You might think that no one wants your data, or that hackers can't grab your passwords or your credit card details and get to stuff that's even more important about you. But you'd be wrong. Stealing data from unsuspecting people on public Wi-Fi is one of the simplest and cheapest ways for hackers to make money. When you leave your internet connection unencrypted, you might as well be writing your passwords and credit card numbers on a huge billboard for the rest of the world to see. And that's why we use ExpressVPN. I use it to protect myself from cyber criminals. If I'm going to connect to public Wi-Fi, you better believe I'm going to be doing it channeled through a VPN tunnel, because, you know, too many stories, too many ways. It's just really easy for hackers, for people who want to, you know, connect to you and your data, to connect through those areas. ExpressVPN secures and anonymizes your internet browsing by encrypting your data and hiding your public IP address. ExpressVPN has easy to use apps that run seamlessly in the background on your computer, your phone, your tablet. Turning it on is as simple as pressing one button, one click. Actually, on Android, it integrates really nicely into the OS. It's embedded, the VPN software is embedded into the OS, so you know exactly when you're being protected. Using ExpressVPN, you can safely surf on public Wi-Fi without being snooped on or having your personal data stolen for less than $7 a month. It's not that expensive. You can get the same ExpressVPN protection that I have running on my phone. ExpressVPN is rated the number one VPN service by TechRadar. It comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So you can protect your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 extra months free with a 1-year package at expressvpn.com/allaboutandroid. That's expressvpn.com/allaboutandroid for 3 extra months free with a 1-year package. One more time, that's expressvpn.com/allaboutandroid to learn more. And we thank ExpressVPN for their support. And now we've got some hardware to talk about. LG.
Just love having the IMEI number strapped to the back of.
What color did you get?
I got black.
Okay, so what is this? This is the LG G8 Thin Q, yes. And before today, no one really knew that suddenly reviews were going to start dropping.
Hold on, I need to unlock my phone. Hold on one second.
Oh, what are you doing? Are you telling it to stop?
I'm supposed to read my palm. there it goes.
Oh my goodness. This is really...
Okay.
It's impossible to show the display while you've got your hand
there's,
over
but there's
the top
a little
it.
Ring that goes around the edges to kind of tell you when it's working. Hey, turn back on.
Well, this is seamless.
Up.
Does it ever work for you?
It worked once today. Okay, look, I'm just going to do this. Boom.
Okay, hey, wait, that works. The LG G8, you're in.
That's how I've been unlocking this thing. Oh my gosh, it's so bright. I'm so sorry about that.
You know what, that experience right there is the G8 ThinQ kind of in a nutshell.
I was just going to say it because, yeah, we were talking a little bit about gimmicks and phones, and I had a feeling this was the phone that we were going to
get my scalp out of the video there.
And that, I would say on one hand, that was kind of, it would be an interesting new feature to be able to unlock your phone with your palm. It's vein detection.
Yeah. I'm supposed to it's supposed to do a thing.
All right, so if you were to have your hand above the Z,
but you're already unlocked now, right?
No, it does another thing now this way.
Oh, right here.
Oh, I see.
So if you have
is it that I need to do it to that
up.
Far?
Yeah, you have to come up.
It's impossible to show.
How are you doing it, Josh? I haven't been able to do this at all. I did it once today.
I'm going to put the case on because this is sliding all over your wood table.
Yeah, it's going to fall off.
There we go. Careful. So if I have it here.
But what is it supposed to do?
All right, so
let's actually start from the top with this. I think would make sense to kind of tell the whole story of this device. So this is the LG G8 ThinQ. Mm-hmm. It is LG's flagship for this year, and it's kind of a quiet launch. What you see here is a 6.1-inch OLED Quad HD Plus display. This is the first OLED after years of LG using IPS LCD displays. It's super nice. The colors, a little different than what you're used to seeing on, like, the Pixel, for instance. The Pixel OLED mm-hmm. is a slight bit of washed-out tinge, I want to say.
Okay.
Animal Crossing just doesn't look as vibrant as I'm used to.
Also, it's a bit dim, right?
Yeah, exactly. It is a bit dim, which is great when you're using it in the dark. You know, like, I'm playing a game before bed to help me fall asleep. But it's kind of hard when you're in the daytime and your phone is at lowest brightness. So the display is really nice. Inside, it's got a Snapdragon 855 processor, 6 gigs of RAM, so it's super fast. I've been playing games on this. I've been playing Elder Scrolls Blades, which we'll talk about later in the arena, which has just run swimmingly. It's also got 128 gigs of storage and takes up to 2 terabyte SD cards. So that's a lot of space in there, which you're going to need for all those high-res photos you're going to be taking. The rear camera has a 12-megapixel standard lens coupled with a 16 megapixel wide angle. So if you look on the back, you can see the lenses. They're just nice in there in the chassis. Like, it's just flat.
There's no bump whatsoever.
There's a tiny little bump for the flash.
Okay.
But it's not even, like, it just feels like a recessed light. Yeah. Which is why this thing slides around so easily, because it's just nice and flat on the back.
I think it's a beautiful phone, by the way.
It is a beautiful phone. Up here, we've got a notch, and in here, we've got an 8-megapixel camera. This is the Z camera.
Yes.
So this is where all the hand stuff lives. And again, by the way, this is not the LG... Sorry, everyone. That was supposed to be on Lawn Chair. So I'm using Lawn Chair Launcher on this.
Okay.
Because I've
opted for a replacement launcher.
I'm just not a fan of what is happening to it.
I agree.
Outside of that. So this is Lawn Chair. If you want to see what it looks like, there's plenty of photos out there.
Is this the stock launcher?
Yes. So Josh has a stock one. As you could see, big bubble icons. I just don't like them.
If you would like, I'll just do this real quick.
Okay, we'll see if it works. So
you
should be able to cover your hand and have those cameras, the Z cameras, is that what they're called?
Yes.
Please swipe and try again.
Were doing it. You did it like five times. While Flo was talking.
So the Z camera, it can do two things. It does the hand ID, which is vein recognition. This is totally hokey. You have to basically hold your hand at a precise distance, as you've watched us attempt to do. And then you have to make this sort of claw with your hand to get it to do the gesture that you've programmed.
Oh, you did.
So Josh is doing it.
This I've got down.
If you see it from a, let's do a, actually, Victor, if you wouldn't mind a wide angle real quick. Josh, show him that claw that you were doing.
Contort.
I know, this is so hard to do.
It was
the
claw. It was like...
Okay.
This is the distance, and this is where you float essentially. And
I see the little readout.
Yeah, and the readout is really accurate. Like, it's 1-to-1 pretty much.
Oh, it's happening! It's happening! Oh, I made it work, Victor. If you want to go in the camera,
I don't know how much anyone's going to see.
Look! Oh no!
No matter what, the cameras are blocked by a hand.
Oh, look! And now it's opening YouTube TV. Ah, I did it! I did it!
There you go.
I did it.
Oh, okay. So now take Joshua's because he has it perched up.
Yeah.
Okay. So hand.
You see that little bar in the middle underneath the notch, and that's the bar that lets you know things are working in the background.
Okay.
And then you can kind of see your hand as you claw it up in the middle. There's a little.
Two shortcuts, and if I were to close my fist, it's a screenshot.
And why would you do this?
Oh, that's the question.
I have no answer for you.
Okay. All right.
Exactly.
Good.
Why I unlocked this.
I do have one off-base, not having to do anything with phones prediction about why that's a thing.
Uh-huh.
It's not about the phone. This is going to be something they put on their TVs.
That's a good...
So when you're sitting at your
that's
couch,
a good one.
You put your hand up, and that's how you control your TV.
That's a good point.
That's the only thing I can think of, though.
Maybe.
I'm also thinking as an accessibility feature, this would be super helpful for maybe folks who just, I don't know.
There's always the example of you're doing the dishes and your hands are wet and you want to control something real quick. So You know, then you
as
don't
your
have
hand
to touch.
Drips all over your phone.
Yeah, well, there is that. Right? That's it. That's bad.
But it's IPC8 water resistant, so you can get some splashes on it.
I will admit, the setup of being on my laptop and then just kind of trying to unlock my phone, which it just happened, it's kind of cool once you get it right. But the problem is that you can't get it right every single time.
I would rather just touch my finger to the fingerprint and it works
every time
instantly. And actually, the face unlock works really well. Oop. It makes this little sound when it doesn't work.
What you're talking about, it working every time, like it needing to work every time in order to use it, is exactly my experience with the in-display fingerprint sensor on the S10, where I'd say it works for me, I'd say maybe 55, 60% of the time. And that's just not good enough. And so at that point, then it's like, okay, well, then I'm not going to use it.
I'm still far from my full review, like final thoughts on it. But my hot take, which I think is going to carry throughout my review process, is that when this phone gets something right, it gets it so right. The fingerprint reader on the back, still one of the most reliable you can
use. It's super fast.
The screen is vibrant, if a little bit dim. The camera may not be the best quality one compared to other phones, but it's still, when you get that shot, it looks so good.
So actually...
Right. You're always searching. You're always chasing the dragon.
We should get into the camera. Now, I've put together some show and tell for everyone here today of pictures. So we're going to go through them.
Okay, real quick. The stats on these. The rear is a 12-megapixel standard 16-megapixel wide angle. So it does have the wide angle.
It does have the wide angle built
in. That's good.
And you can easily switch between it in the camera interface, as you can in the previous versions of LG.
Though, again, when they get it right, they get it really right. This is not one of those things. This wide angle, not as wide as your S10s.
Oh, okay. The S10 wide is really wide.
It's really wide.
I don't know if I need it that wide. I'm kind of sad. The wideness on the LG GA is satisfactory, like wideness.
Yeah. I mean, the wideness on the S10 is so wide that it's super distorty, right? Like things get distorted. But at the right shot, that looks really great. Cool.
So actually, Victor, in here, this is a standard angle shot, and then there is a wide angle shot coming up in here to show. Yep, that's the wide angle. So you kind of see it. It's a very gradual wide angle.
Yeah, for close-up,
if you wouldn't mind just going forward. And so here we have a lovely cup of tomato soup. And then here's the wide angle, kind of capturing more of that.
Yeah, you get a little bit of that distortion on the edges. Yep. See down there, down on the bottom floor. Mm-hmm.
Which is cool on Instagram, you know, maybe for not for your main photo.
Mm-hmm. That works for me.
And then I just have some general photos that I've brought to kind of show how it works with the Pixel 3. So, Victor, if you wouldn't mind queuing those up. And so this is just a photo I took in my room. I believe this one is the G8, and then the one before it is
The Pixel looks a little more like...
Actually, I'm sorry. This is the LG. This was done with the AI mode.
There you go.
All right.
This was done with the AI mode.
So the LG is the flatter of the two for sure. The Pixel one looks just a little bit...
The Pixel one is this one.
Yeah.
So the one that's kind of like a little more vibrant.
A little more vibrant. Yeah, exactly.
And then if you keep going forward, Victor, we'll see. Like, this was done with the Pixel. And when you look at it... Sorry, this was done with the LG. Oh my goodness. Okay, so this was done with the LG, and it's very clear. And the thing about the LG sensor is that the pictures come out very sharp, but the problem is that sometimes they come blown out. So in these low light situations, it works really well because you can just like see the glass on the perfume bottles, and it's like very, you know, very obvious what's happening there. And then Victor, if you want to go to the next one. And then, but then here, like the coloring is not up to par.
Yeah.
The way I would like it. So, Victor, if you keep going.
Feels kind of lifeless.
Here's the Pixel version. So the Pixel version is just more like it's, how should I say, the vibrancy is brought up on it. So if you were to do this in
contrast.
Lightroom, it'd be the vibrancy. So, Victor, you can go to the next one. And then again here, it's just
more
slightly bit more
big
color. You can see that. That's the Pixel version that we're looking at.
Yeah, agreed.
And then this is just a picture I took with the G8. And the thing about this is the weeds that we need to mow in the backyard.
I was going
to
say, save the bicycle. Save
okay,
the bicycle.
Listen, spring has just come, okay? It takes a lot. It's a lot of work.
That's not the bloom you want.
Yeah, that's not the super bloom we're talking about. But you will see that this is a very crisp, like the edges on this are very crisp. So if you go to the next one, Victor, and then this is the pixel version. It's a very different like boldness about it. It just feels more real life when you look at it.
Yeah, it's darker. So it's easy to look at this and be like, oh, the other one's better because it's brighter. This one seems to have a little bit more of the detail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. LG software tends to be aggressive about putting HDR
on.
But so, also it's sharpening. LG sharpening has always been, it used to be too much and this one is just right, but then they falter in other places. Mm-hmm. So again, when they get one thing right, it's great, but everything brings it down.
And then here's just my cat in the backyard. She's black and white, so I like to use her for these contrast photos. this is the Pixel 3 version. Hold on. I'm sorry, everyone,
it's
for telling you the
like
wrong
the
thing.
First one is
this
always
is the Pixel 3.
Oh, it is.
Okay. Yeah, and then if you go to the next one, this is the LG version.
HD.
So there, this is what I'm talking about with the overexposure of the sky, and you've got like the green stuff in this picture is very sharp, but then as you go more towards the sky, they start to kind of blow out.
Yeah, totally blown out.
It's not even like it's not even that sunny. Like this was done at dawn. No, excuse me, dusk.
Mm,
so
dusk.
It wasn't even that sunny.
Yeah.
And then I just have a couple other quick little things to show you. There's a wide angle. Album, I don't know, Victor, if that's too...
Was there a wide angle album?
There was.
There's a studio... Wide angle shots. Oh, yeah, there we go. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we just showed that. And then there was...
Studio mode.
Oh, here's the zoom. Let's show this real quick. So here's my cat in the hallway.
Okay.
This is the wide angle. And now let's do the zoom. So it's okay. She looks fake. You know, because she's all jaggedy around the edges. So you're like, is that a cat?
Yeah.
Or a doll? I don't know.
And the thing is, that's a digital zoom. There's no true telephoto on this one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
we've been spoiled.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
This is a quick video to show you how well it zooms in the video. And so there's a little strawberry in there that's coming through in our planter box. Aww. Unfortunately, when I got closer to it, it was very difficult to focus on that little strawberry.
Mm. Yeah.
So, but it moves fast. Which is nice.
Not bad.
Yeah. And then lastly, I'd like to show you the studio / spotlight shots. So
so these are AI. The left two are AI assisted, like remove the background.
Yes. Yeah, so this is supposed to, and you can go ahead and enlarge them, Victor. As you could see, I had a ponytail on and it did not cut it properly.
It didn't know what to do.
It caught some of the background and the same thing happened in the next shot.
This is what the Z camera is supposed to help with.
Yes, this is what the Z camera is supposed to help with.
Wow,
and
it doesn't do that very well.
With its time of flight sensor supposed to help with this, but it doesn't work so well. Now, this here is the spotlight mode, and I really like the spotlight mode because I was like, oh, wow. This is me. I'm working in my blanket. I'm cozy, but I'm like, I'm feeling this photo. So this is what I like from a phone to do when I'm taking like a selfie. I want it to light my face. I want it to kind of buff me out a little bit and just make me look a little alive. And so the G8 can do that, which is nice. It's not all gimmick. It's not all gimmick. But there are gimmicks on there that you have to contend with.
Yep.
And that is something you have to ask yourself when you look at the $820 price tag right out of the box.
Oh, it is $820 out of the box, but on T-Mobile, I think it is.
It's like $600 on T-Mobile.
Which that is like, if you are really looking at the G8, thank you. And again, I'm not in my full review mode yet, but that is a pretty good price for what this provides. But if you can put it right up against $900 phones, doesn't come close.
So I also just want to point out that the design of this thing is wonderful. And after having lost my Pixel, this has kind of filled a little bit of a design void. So I've been using the GS 9 Plus as a backup phone and I don't like it. It's a weird thinness about it. And I like the black one a little more. No shade to the one that Josh showed off, but
look at that shine. Oh, look at that. That's a thumbnail.
But I like that. I just like the black. Like there the we blackness go. Of it. It's just... But it's fingerprinty, which will bum you out a little bit. But at the same time, I just like how rounded the corners are. It feels like such a solid phone. It's well balanced. Mm-hmm. That's something I never really felt about the last couple Samsung phones, that they're not very well balanced.
Yeah. It definitely feels like a nice solid phone.
Yeah. Now, I didn't get to test this. As you can see, I have like an activation message on there. I didn't get to test it with a SIM, so I haven't had any phone calls on it. But I think I might switch to this as my primary for a few weeks and kind of try it out, because it's filling a void that I'm kind of missing with the Pixel.
In that your Pixel is destroyed and yeah, you soon won't have it.
Oh, before we go, though, one more thing. The portrait mode is awful on this.
Oh, is
yes, that's the thing that I cannot forget to say. So this was the portrait taken with the G8, and this was the best one that I could get out of like a dozen
natural
photos. Sure, it looks natural,
well,
but then
you look at the cat ears thing and like yeah, the wires disappearing, although that would be hard.
So this was a portrait done with the G8. Now the G8 lets you select the focus kind of area, okay, which is why it makes it kind of weird. I don't like that. I feel like that's a little too much choice for this particular feature. Because then when you go to the next one, which is the Pixel, I mean, That is tap and shoot.
Yeah.
That's what I want out of a portrait performance.
Totally.
And I don't get that out of the G8, and so I will not be using portrait on it.
It's hard to even see any
No, because they again, they're doing all that processing in the back end, and this is what comes out of the pictures.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of tries to get that focus and to get the color, the exposure just right. And so that's what still frustrates me about the LG camera, is that it does all of this cool stuff and everything is baked into it and it has all these capabilities, but the software just feels really behind compared to what I'm used to with the Pixel.
Yeah, 100%.
It's so hard to compare anything to the Pixel now, because what Google did was make the camera extremely user-friendly, and I think that's something Samsung and LG, sorry Samsung, throwing you in there. I haven't used the GS10 fully, but I feel like that's something they're still kind of lacking a bit.
It's better now than it has been, but it's still overwhelming.
Yeah,
it's
exactly. Like, I get it. It's a lot of features. Awesome. I can do a time lapse. I can do a this. I can do a that. It's like, great. But I can't take a portrait.
Right. Yeah, I can do all these things, but can you do them well?
Exactly. You got to do a couple things really well,
yeah.
I think, if you're a flagship. I think just throwing a bunch of features at the wall and saying, oh, we've got 3D depth sensing. Oh, we've got this. We got that. That doesn't work in this day and age of like user friendliness being the big marketing thing.
Especially lifestyle in that price range. Yeah.
Yeah.
LG G8 ThinQ is up for pre-order right now. It goes, releases
too.
April 11th, right? So in a couple of days. Mm-hmm. Mm. So you don't have to wait long if this has to be your next flagship.
I'm going to use it for a while though, because, battery's good, 3,500 milliamp battery in it.
Yeah.
It's actually been performing pretty well.
Yeah.
I have to admit.
You know, the games are great on it.
Nice. Excellent stuff.
Yeah.
LG G8 ThinQ. Why do they keep putting ThinQ at the end?
Because of the Google Assistant integration.
Oh, it has an assistant button.
It does.
On the side.
It does.
I haven't even used it.
It does have an assistant button on the side, but there's also another reason. In the Korean market, their IoT ecosystem is called the ThinQ.
Yeah.
So,
okay. So the fridge is ThinQ, like the stereos are ThinQ, and the feature through the TV, I think, is ThinQ.
Mm-hmm. All right, LG. Okay. All right. Fine.
I just don't have the assistant on because I've got, you all know how many speakers I have in my house.
All right. The LG G8 ThinQ. Cool. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Let's see here. You've got a couple of phones.
Yeah, we still have more phones to talk about.
So why don't we start with the Mi 9? What can you tell us about the Xiaomi Mi 9? When was this announced, by the way?
This was announced this was announced a while ago.
Yeah, it was a little while back, but I was doing a search through our docs.
We don't get Chinese phones. So you were showing
reviews
us.
Reviews are only now sort of coming out.
Yeah.
This was definitely an MWC phone. It was an MWC phone, and reviews are starting to come
too
out
far away.
Over the last couple of weeks.
That's really pretty.
Now, Xiaomi does a great job with their phones. My only qualm with the design of this is that it's not ceramic, because they've always championed ceramic as their material.
And this is just
Samsung charges extra for that.
Exactly. Meanwhile, Xiaomi, they pretty much price it at cost, which means that it's much more affordable all the time. This is actually, if you were to change the Chinese RMB.
Oh, I just saw that. Oh, I'm sorry. That was the wire from the microphone. Oh. I thought there was like a cool little like divot in it or something.
Well, there is this ring here that
That's iridescent. Mm-hmm. Kind of has a little.
So you got triple cameras set up. You have a normal, a super wide, and a telephoto. And a Snapdragon 855. This was actually probably, I think this was the first phone to have the 855. So at that high end. And also Qualcomm, you know, since they were sort of who I was with over the last couple of days, you know, to give them some props, they have really been championing the Chinese phones. And right back in the other direction. All these Chinese phones will have the branding that you saw scrolling right there.
Yeah.
The Snapdragon branding is very prominent. There's even a version of this phone that has a translucent backing, even though it's not actually showing real bits. It's all decorative.
That's really good marketing.
Exactly.
It looks neat.
Yeah. It's been lovely, and I think the main story here is the software, because obviously Xiaomi, that's where they really got their start, is the MIUI.
Right.
I apologize for the little bit of fingerprinting there, but MIUI, to be honest, has been, I'm happy having it.
You don't want to put a launcher on there like I do?
Yeah, I really don't need to. I mean, even though I do miss having app drawers, once my muscle memory kind of hits and knows where all of my apps are, this is clean.
It's not optional?
On MIUI, I hadn't looked. I'm pretty sure there is one, though. But I just didn't change it.
Yeah, okay.
And it's smooth. It has all the elements in exactly the right places, like the volume rock.
Oh, good, good, good. They implemented that.
Has a nice side panel.
It's very OnePlus-y.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm, it has the smoothness of OnePlus. And I don't know if there's any... Oh, well. Sorry, my girlfriend just woke up, so she's just like... She's not a morning person. But yeah, it's been a very nice experience. I wouldn't say that it actually excels in any one category. And we have here in the notes that I actually have my real-world camera test here as well. So I do these real-world camera tests. Shout out to David Kogan, the Unlocker. He actually started using that title for his videos, and I messaged him. I was like, it's okay if I use that title too. It's basically vlogging with a smartphone. Yeah, because I used to call these vlogging with a smartphone, where I literally use the smartphone as the one camera I have.
Right.
I take photos, I take videos.
That's what they want you to do.
Exactly. And that way you get a real example as to whether or not it's going to serve you properly in that. So this was actually during the Black Shark event, which is coming up. And I just took a bunch of pictures. I vlogged this experience at the Great Wall of China. And if you were to go to like maybe the back quarter of the video, just to talk about this little bit of travel, the toboggan. So you get to the top of that section of the Great Wall. And if you think of all the history and everything, why is this here? It was fun, but this is the, so you have, my face, like,
amused.
Why am I doing this? It was fun, but it was also really weird and almost wrong.
Yeah.
The wide angle was great, and the front-facing camera could use a little bit more detail.
And they
yell at you the whole way. Like, I wasn't supposed to be recording those videos, so they kept making me stop.
Wow.
And then it's food time after that clip. But it did a good job, but it's far from the top 10 in terms of camera quality, to be honest. One of the main reasons why the video camera, I wouldn't really recommend it as a vlogging cam.
Okay,
is because
Lazy Susan.
One of the main reasons why I wouldn't recommend it for vloggers is because the audio pickup is not good.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get good audio out of it. The wide angle would be nice to have. It's nice to have. It is fun to use.
That made me hungry.
But the front-facing camera doesn't have really great quality, as you could see there. And the audio pickup was just really bad.
Mm.
Since we talked about the G8, thank you, the audio pickup on the G8 is tremendous.
Yeah.
So you liked the sound of the...
Because it's so sensitive.
There was something crackly and
I needed to get into the settings and turn it down a little.
Yeah.
But it's making sure that it hits like that -3 decibel.
Oh, okay.
So it's not actually peaking.
Yeah.
But it's definitely hitting that limit. So that's the reason why it's crackling, and it may not be the most pleasant.
It had like a sizzly quality to it that just got
But after
got
doing
to me
five real-world camera tests up until this point, definitely it's the best.
Well, you've got the comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got the good real-world comparison. Yeah. So
I'll never forget doing the Pixel 1. It was bad. The Pixel 3 audio pickup, I didn't like it at all.
Oh, yeah.
You have that wide angle, and then you can have terrible audio pickup. Like, vloggers are never going to use that phone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think the G8, it's... definitely up there, the S10 right there with
they, it. That's their market as well, I feel.
Yeah.
LG has really kind of been like, we'll make this for you.
I'm still, so. I really hope that, not to put too many devices in one discussion, but like I really want to do this with the P30 Pro. Mm-hmm. I don't have it yet. I don't know when, but I'm really hoping to try out with that. Because wide, I know how to use wide. Yeah. Zoom in video, that's a whole different story. Like, right. I really want to try it out.
I've exciting. Been watching your girlfriend zoom in photos. Yeah. With the PR. That's it's like somebody at the other end on a balcony just like zoop. It was just the same
Hi,
way
I'm
that
standing
Mateo
right next to you suddenly.
Us.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
It's
exactly.
all about the dog ones though, because they're in the backyard and she's just like all of a sudden next
yes,
to
her. Yes, and she has a dog, so.
It's awesome. You saw at the end of that the end of that little video, the real world camera test at the Great Wall of China, that I was actually in China for the Black Shark 2. That's
yes.
the last one that we can talk about here.
So what's All Black right. Shark? I've actually never heard of this brand.
Look at this gaming laptop of a phone.
Oh, oh yeah. That is a gamer phone.
That is yep,
by the way, not all gamers, present company included, likes this kind of aesthetic. Just FYI.
Now, there are a couple of reasons for this aesthetic. You can see this X, almost X, design here. This is actually where all the antennas are. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh.
So if you were going to hold it in a certain fashion, there are certain parts of the phone that are going to be exposed. So the network connectivity is always high quality.
Okay, that is... Okay.
All right.
I like that.
Right. There's also, when you have your fingers down right here, it doesn't... Okay, they made a big deal about this. I don't think it's that big a deal, but I can see why. There's also a bit of a rise right here, mm-hmm. so you can pinch your fingers in, and it feels a little bit better.
Little grippers.
A little grippy. Now, the whole point of this, and this is also another interesting bit about the global version of the Black Shark 2, this is a Xiaomi-backed phone. They're investors.
Oh.
Xiaomi are investors, but this is its own brand through and through.
Okay.
So, in-display fingerprint reader works really well. Goes right in. Stock Android. Look at this. This is a Pixel launcher. I don't know how they did this, but they got it.
Yeah, I was about to say, because I saw that the screen, the mm-hmm. always on display, whatever.
Yeah.
It looked like the Pixel one, but oh, that's the Pixel UI, and you've got the shelf to the mm-hmm. left.
You
and
even have the, and then I can, well, I don't have any recent items, but
What version of Android is it running?
This would be Pi.
Pi, okay.
This is straight up Pi, yeah. Now, that way the user experience on the global device is going to be very familiar, but there's this little toggle right here that looks a bit like the alert slider on the OnePlus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Here's where the gaming stuff comes in.
Okay.
Bam.
Yeah.
Down shark space. Rah.
If you look down there, 417 megabytes freed up. This dumps the entire memory, so you're only using this as a gaming phone.
Huh.
And there's also this button here that will stop all notifications and calls.
That's a game mode.
Huh. That is,
and
yeah.
it just pulls in games you download. So mm-hmm. if I were to put Animal Crossing, it
absolutely.
Would free up all the memory for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
It all goes back to Animal Crossing.
And I have a lot of them. I'm the type of actually, you know what, Flo? Do you finish the games? Are you a game finisher? I'm not.
I am a game finisher. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
these
yeah,
are
yeah.
all games that I'm still like a third in. Yeah. I've not. I'm that gamer.
I'm one of those people who like starts a game and sees it until the end. I'm very like I'm a serial monogamous gamer.
I think any fans who've been following me since the Android Authority days, they know that I've been on Final Fantasy IX for like 6 years. But, so
it's gonna be like the whole library will be on the Switch between you before you finish it.
Pretty much. Now here's one more thing. I'm gonna go ahead and throw this case on here.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
gonna go ahead and throw that case on there. And actually, I didn't have it out yet. Give me a sec.
Oh wait, there's more.
Well, he
oh wait,
gets whatever
there's
he's
more.
Gonna get. I'm gonna hold onto the phone and see, and that's got a little bit of weight to it.
You know, if you put wheels on the bottom of that, it looked like a race car.
Now, why are there connectors on the sides of this case?
Interesting.
Because intellectual property be damned.
Yeah, clearly.
No
we have
way.
Switch controller type gamepad.
Oh, so. I want this for every phone I own.
Now, here is where, like, I am closer to the full review treatment on this. I have been using this primarily as a gaming phone. I'm going to use...
That's the point. They want you to do that.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to use PUBG as the example.
Okay.
PUBG,
that's a good example.
PUBG is really the best example of how these gamepads work. And by that, I mean the gamepads don't work for everything, and it's going to piss you off.
Yeah.
You already see that there's a touchpad here.
Yeah.
This emulates swipes on the screen. You have all of the buttons down here that you can map to all of the on-screen controls. If your game does not have every on-screen control on the screen, then you're SOL. Because you need to map it to these buttons.
And so PUBG, the first time you run a game, you need to do some setup.
Yes, and like, but there are so many games out there.
You've already set it up, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if I were to let me press that, so you can see like where the actual buttons lie. Once I get in here, see this virtual D-pad over here?
Yeah.
That's movement, right? So I have it there. So if you were to look at it, it's there. See that blue one?
And do you have an analog style control of that? You hit it slightly and you'll go slower.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So okay. a little slower.
Angle the phone toward you just a little bit. No, no, it's okay.
Now this is the problem. In games like, let's say, Grand Theft Auto or Bully, those are Rockstar games, but in those games, this D-pad is not there. And when you set it to that area, it's going to be very clunky. So the game, it's still proprietary in the sense that you need a very specific control layout to map the control layout. So it is very annoying. That means that emulators are going to be like championed on this phone. The emulators are going to be great. Games like Animal Crossing, you're just going to take these controllers off. That's a touch game anyway.
But
there are just going to be times when you want touchscreen. So,
but I do think about like how many times I've bought Sonic the Hedgehog like on Android.
now to their credit, they know that the gamepad is very highly sought after. But if you can't use it, they've made it so that the touch latency is as low as possible. It's even faster than the iPhone, and there are also macros. So if I were to swipe down here. We can head to the gamer studio.
That's a real gamer feature, like no to have kidding. Macros. Yeah.
Here's some performance modes as well. So if I were to change the performance modes, this could actually overclock the system. And the phone can get really warm under that.
I'm sure.
Trying to think of what the other, where is it? Be careful. Oh, Master Touch. Here you go. So these two areas, the two halves, you can set macros to these if you press really hard down on it. So that's your 3D touch.
There we go. And you that's can what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. So pressure settings. So you can map that if you wanted to. I don't use it because I can't find anything that's useful for it. And I'm going to go ahead and... oh, there you go.
It's all right. It's easy to do in the studio.
PUBG is very much the best example. And it is the game that they showed on stage. So it's clear that they knew what demographic they were going for, because this is the most popular game in China.
They're going for folks who play first-person shooters or these sorts of games.
But even then,
on
like
their phone.
Esport types.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Now, and that's big. That's very big.
There are probably, they're right there in the chat, if you don't mind. You have an advantage with a game view that wide. You also have an advantage with these controllers. If you use a third-party controller in PUBG on any other Android phone, because this is system level, that's why I'm not banned.
Oh, really?
Oh, right.
This is cheating. This is straight up cheating right here.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm level 20 and it only took me like a week to get there.
So the controllers, obviously, you know, you're talking about the mapping on the screen in order to get them to work. Can they also work as just straight up Bluetooth for games to support it?
No.
No.
Yeah, see, because they're not going to register to this phone the way that like an Xbox controller or a gamepad do.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yes.
That's a big bummer.
They're very specific, and when you get it to work, it's great, but it's not for everything. Yeah. That's the one problem.
I mean, that would help fill the gaps.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So much better.
And that's the thing. Like, gaming on Android has that one problem. The software can never catch up with the hardware because the hardware keeps changing.
Yeah.
And
the hardware is not made by the people who code Android.
Exactly. And they're not, and also the hardware is not made by the people who make the game.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
there's so much fragmentation when it comes to mobile gaming. Mm-hmm. How do you bring all those moving pieces together? This is how you do it.
Yeah. This is probably the best example of what a gaming phone should look like. That it dumps the entire memory so that it becomes a gaming machine, that it has controllers for games that you can map it to. Everything about it also, just in the same way that you get a gaming laptop. Oh, go play. We've lost Jason.
Jason wants to play. I want to play.
We've lost Jason.
I just remember the old, what was it, the Sony Xperia years ago
that had the
play with a controller that would slide out. I was like, I want that. I'm going to do emulation with that. And I never got one.
So left shoulder is aim and right shoulder, right trigger is shoot.
Okay.
So in the same way that you would get a gaming laptop to use Adobe Premiere Pro better, this has that quality. because this is an esports-centric phone, the microphones are fantastic.
Ooh.
So vlogging with this phone has been pretty fun too, even if the camera quality has not been great. But the audio has been great. So I've been doing IGTV segments with it. So yeah, the microphones are great. The network connectivity is great because of all of the antennas. It's really...
And this works here in the U.S.?
Yes, it does work. You have to import it, but it does work. Because they did an official launch in France where there's actually a very large esports contingency.
Mm.
Yeah, so Black Shark. And also,
so they went specifically after their market.
Mm-hmm, exactly. There have been... I just showed what's going on there.
I'm not sure. Something.
Crouch!
I just want to shoot instead.
Oh, no, trigger, not... Not there you go.
Oh, okay.
Shoulder and trigger. Sorry, I thought Jason was a gamer.
No. Not really.
And you know what? All of this, Snapdragon 855, like a lot of storage, a lot of RAM. It's definitely got all the bells and whistles you would want. Again, Xiaomi backed products are sold at cost. This is a $575
phone. Yeah. Wait, how much do these controllers cost?
Another 100.
That's not bad, mm-hmm. actually.
Now, can you pop them out and use them like on a Switch?
Actually, you can. Yeah.
Yeah.
Will do Bluetooth.
You
right?
can put the phone down and lay back. Yeah. So you can run around with it. I've done that on planes.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That's pretty interesting. I gotta say, have you played with other gaming focused Android devices?
And the Razer, which they did finally come out with the Raiju Mobile, which was supposed to be their like controller for the masses. Again, same problem. It doesn't work with every game. And the moment someone who wants to try mobile gaming runs into a game that the controller doesn't work on, they're checked out of mobile gaming entirely.
Yeah.
Which is a travesty because there's so much good stuff out
there.
That's
true. It's made me check out because I'm like, this is impossible. I can't do this. I have long nails. Gaming on the screen is not a thing I can do. Mm-hmm. I prefer a controller.
I just today pre-registered for Call of Duty Mobile. The titles are coming. Like, they're coming. So I have to say, it's not like mobile gaming should be a pariah. And I really hope that we can bridge those gaps, which is why I like the Snapdragon announcement. I love this phone, you know, and we need to see more specialization. That way we can actually get some differentiation.
Just because it's not PC gaming, it doesn't mean that it doesn't have a place.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I'm about to die.
It's fine.
It's okay.
That one's probably a bot. I should be dead by now. That one's a bot. I'm going to go and let that go. Or rather, maybe I'll just enact revenge.
Why don't you get some revenge? There we go. Now we finally got some other people on screen. All right, there we go. Cool. The Black Shark 2 is the device. That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. Thank you for bringing that in.
Yeah.
That was very different.
Very much a Xiaomi-backed device. Just one quick story. At the event, they gave Richard Yu is Huawei. They gave the CEO of Xiaomi a super special version of the phone that no one else has.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was the biggest
like
flex.
Gold-plated?
It was like white ceramic platinum or something like that. And I had a front row seat.
He just threw it in his closet. He's like, oh, yeah. Great.
Yeah, just a grab and a bow. It was just like, thank you. I will go now.
I don't know what I'm going to do with this. I have tons of these in my house. All right, so let's take a break. Thank the sponsor. And then we will get into some app news. And then we will get into the arena. First, this episode of All About Android is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Hiring used to be hard. If you've ever tried to hire for your business, you know, collecting all those resumes, even finding the right people to submit their resumes for your job can be very difficult. Maybe you're managing a ton of job sites. Of course, the stacks and stacks of resumes that you might collect, confusing review process, the time it takes, all that stuff. But today, hiring can be easy and you only have to go to one place to get it done. And that place is ZipRecruiter.com/Android. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. But that's not all. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience. And then, of course, invite them to apply to your job. As applications come in,
ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and then spotlights for you the top candidates so you never have to miss a great match. Nothing gets buried in that stack. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. My wife used ZipRecruiter for her business. She got a ton of resumes just on day one. So that is actually super spot on. Quality candidates coming right through almost immediately, and screened as well, so it was really nice. And right now, All About Android listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at our exclusive web address. It's ziprecruiter.com/android. You can show your support for this show and ZipRecruiter by going to ziprecruiter.com/android. That's ziprecruiter.com/android. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire, and we thank them for their support of All About Android. And now, just a few app stories to talk about. So let's dive in. We'll dive in. Google Assistant, apparently getting some visual improvements that are going to improve and bring more context to the queries that you do on the screen. I checked my phone and I wasn't getting the update yet, but apparently it's rolling out. For example, just as one example, as you can see here on the left is the before. If you were asking for the stock price of Alphabet, you get kind of like basic information. On the new updated interactive cards, it includes kind of a larger chart, interactive elements like selecting, you know, what is the historical data of the last year versus month, day, whatever. It just basically expands out that card with more information, essentially. And there's a bunch of different kind of ways that this surfaces. Google did a post to kind of showcase a lot of the different ways that you can see these updates. They're also including new features like a tip calculator in there, a metronome music tool, and then a bubble level. Remember when smartphones first happened and these were like the app categories that everyone was like, well, we got to get these. These are amazing. I can turn my phone into a bubble level. Mm-hmm. I don't have to go to the hardware store. Now it's just like embedded into search. No big deal. Whatever.
Go on the bubble wrap game and we'll talk.
Oh, bubble wrap game. Yeah, the bubble wrap app where you just pop bubbles all day. But I should say Google is an ad company, as we know, and as such, Assistant will now sometimes pull back search results that include ads. And they're similar ads to what you would see in Google search. So you do a search for something and it comes back and has that little thing that says sponsored or whatever.
Yes.
The thing is, it's relevant to your search, though.
Yeah.
I'm not as mad about it.
I would agree. I feel the same way.
Sometimes I click on the ads if
sometimes
they're
I
super
do too.
Relevant.
Yeah.
So when you get a search result and your result, like let's say it's Expedia, at the top is Expedia sponsored, and then below it is Expedia because it came up on your search, which is the one that you click?
Sometimes I click sponsored. Sometimes I click the first one. It depends how I'm feeling towards Google that day.
Oh, okay.
I think I still click the one below it, but I click it even more so because it was also the ad. Because I know it's good.
It must be. Yes, because that's how advertising works. The more things appear, the better it is.
Sometimes fake things are sponsored.
Both they flex and Google flexes them. So I'm thinking, you know, that's got to be the double, right?
Parallel
so like on Yelp, if the top restaurant, if they're paying for ad but people still love it, it's both. You know, that means it's probably pretty good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, maybe it depends on the platform. Because I think maybe I would feel that way with Yelp, but I wouldn't feel that way with Google. And I don't know why. Why is that? I would think with Google it would be more like I wouldn't.
It's so robotic.
I wouldn't see that as an indicator as like, oh, well, this is obviously the best choice, even though Google search is usually pretty dependable. I'll have to think about why I think about those things differently. Why do I trust Yelp over Google?
Is it making any sense Yelp. To me? I actually trust Google more now.
You what?
I trust Google more now.
You do?
Yeah.
Does that fluctuate for you?
No. Well, I mean in terms of like restaurant reviews and things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, got you.
Yeah.
Got you. Okay.
And actually,
maybe
I think
I'm just
Yelp...
not used to trusting Google for that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm used to using Yelp.
No, that's for that. Stuff. Yeah, but Yelp has gotten too much fire.
Very gamed.
Yeah. It's very gamed.
Yeah.
Also, service doesn't make food taste bad. Let me just say that.
Yeah. you didn't get served within 15 minutes. Sometimes they're having a busy day.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And speaking of ads, apparently there's a pilot program going on for Android TV. I looked on my NVIDIA Shield TV. I didn't see this row there, but apparently on some devices from Xiaomi and the NVIDIA Shield TV, there's a sponsored ads column, and it's below this screenshot. This screenshot doesn't show it, but if you go down, you'll see a little sponsored ads column that would appear, that would surface ads into the interface. Sony noted on their own support page, because this is appearing in Android TVs by Sony and other companies, Sony said that this was Google's change, not Sony's, because I think people were probably complaining to Sony to say, hey, why are there suddenly ads on my TV? There's no way to disable the ads, apparently. Sony recommends creating a restricted profile for showing only the apps that the user selects. So if you are ad avoidant...
After living with Android TV for like a couple of weeks now, it's not perfect.
No.
I mean, it's better than casting from the phone to the Chromecast and doing that whole dance, because you just have the remote and it does everything for you. But I tell you, that UI is not, it's not a mover. It's not a shaker.
Yeah, it's not a candlestick maker.
No, it's not doing anything for society. I mean, honestly, I'm lucky if I can even get the Google Assistant feature to work sometimes.
Yeah.
If I can even get it to find like the thing that I want on the platform that I want to watch it.
Yeah.
And now I get to deal with ads, so that's great. It was already annoying because when I set up I have the Xiaomi Mi Box, and when I set it up, it would show me apps that I did not want to have installed, like as part of the home screen. I'm like, I don't want stars. I don't want these things. Like,
yeah, you know what's really bad, and it's not Android, is Apple TV.
Uh-oh.
And like,
oh, is
like
it?
If I go to like an Airbnb, that's their new thing now, is that they don't do cable or they don't
have
satellite
an Apple
or whatever.
TV.
They have an Apple TV, and if you have an account at Netflix, you just log in with your account, whatever. But you go onto an Apple TV interface, and it's like everything. It's just like, here's like 40 or 50 services. Or maybe it is on these because they're just setting it up for anything. But it's
what
just so
that,
messy. So I like Android TV better than Apple TV.
What happened to that content curation, Apple, that you were talking about on stage that whole time, man? I mean, that's not curating anything.
No, it's just here's everything. And two of these services you're signed into. Now that I'm saying it out loud, I'm guessing probably the Airbnb owners have like brought those into the interface to cover all bases for whoever happens to walk through their door. I don't know. I guess I don't
know.
But
I think the moment you log in, that should all go away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't just be inundation the moment you log into your Apple account.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally.
Also, don't log into your accounts at Airbnbs because...
Okay. Mars Worms does say, make sure to log out when you're done.
Yeah, at least.
Mars Worms says you can hide the apps on Apple TV, and that's a good thing. I never spent much time with it.
But you're not going to spend that time at Airbnb.
How do I hide all of these things on my temporary Apple TV? You got the next one. Is this a big day? Is this big news?
So I saw this news come in the other day. I haven't used Snapchat in months. I have actually crossed over. I've just been using Instagram stories because that's where all my friends are. That's where my network is now. And I have a digital well-being that only lets me in, when I had my Pixel, 20 minutes a day. So that's all
and
I allow.
And now soon to be unrestricted now that you're on the
LCGA. Actually, I've been creeping slowly into like, idle. I should go look on Instagram. What am I doing? Which is not good. But anyway, that is to say, so Snapchat has made a huge like media focus on the fact that they have finally released this app that has been made for Android. Now, why did I stop using the Snapchat app? Because the darn thing was not working. Like, every time I would fire it up, the camera would slow down. Often the app would crash. This was on my Pixel 3. Loading videos would sometimes take a minute. Like, posting videos, they would post out of order. And so I was like, why am I bothering with this? And I kind of grew tired as an Android user using a subpar app because I have been an Android user for so long. And I can tell when you phoned it in with your app. Okay. So what is that letting me know as an Android user that I'm not a priority? So I guess now I am. but it's too late because I'm not using it anymore.
Yeah.
And honestly, when you go on Snapchat, it's like the content there scares me.
Oh, really?
It's just scary content.
Mm.
Yeah, oh, like bad YouTube algorithm kind of content.
Oh, okay.
That's where I'm going to put it at.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just not quality stuff. I would rather watch Tiny Kitchen on Instagram at this point, you know?
Hmm.
Also, the camera app itself was always just so low quality.
It was.
You can't even do anything of high quality, which is probably what facilitates low quality content in the first place. But
wasn't there something with the Snapchat app where the camera was actually like taking a picture of the viewfinder instead of the actual camera?
Yeah, it was like a bit of an emulation situation.
That's so weird.
That's because this app, from what I'm understanding, the legacy app, very slow and chunky. Snap had tried to patch it in the past, but that never worked, and that's why I'm not using it anymore. They began rewriting the app in early 2018, which makes me think that the app that we had before was just a shell of the iOS development.
Probably so.
Yeah. So there are no changes to the UI in this major update, but apparently it's going to be faster and less buggy than it has been.
There's no talk of the camera quality.
Let's hope.
Yeah.
Let's hope.
And there's possibly a promise of some Android first features over iOS, but I just kind of feel like this is too little too late. And I know we talk a lot about Snapchat on here to kind of like make fun, nobody's using it, but I think this is an important tale to tell as Android folks, because we've been dealing with subpar apps our entire lives with Android and just don't have time for it. It's 2019. Like, get into the future. Make your app for Android first. I'm sorry.
It just kind of blows me away
that
not very long ago Snapchat was on fire and now it's fire sale.
Gen Z is now into TikTok. Gen Z has left Snapchat, which is why Snapchat is awful content now.
Interesting.
It's just like celebrity garbage.
It just gave me agita.
Yeah. It's not even like the celebrity garbage I like. It's like the rotting garbage.
It's not the peach pit.
My threshold is like People Magazine. Anything after that is a little too like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not peach pit. It's dumpster fire.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, phew. We got an email. We didn't really actually get a whole lot of email this week, but you guys are always there with questions. Well, and not even questions, just comments, guesses about Android Q, because this is going to be a hot topic until Google reveals it. Lance Thacker apparently has emailed a couple of times because he said, for the 100th time, it's Android Suzy Q by Hostess. Get it? Got it. Good. I'd be down for this. Although, I'm down for Hostess desserts as a legacy memory from when I was a kid and they were actually good. And now when I eat them, they taste like fake food. I don't know. The Twinkies, that's Hostess, right?
They're not the same. We don't have to go too far into it, but what were some of your other predictions for Q?
Oh, boy.
Thus far, we've gotten a lot of suggestions of like international desserts and foods that we hadn't considered.
Yeah, quark balls, quesito.
Quesito,
which I thought was.
I like that one.
Let's see here. I feel like every week we've had something on
quiche.
Here. Let's see here.
That's
Queen of Puddings,
thinks.
Quality Street. These are the obscure ones because the obvious ones happened weeks ago. Just going back in time.
Quick.
Nessie Quick. That's kind of like the. That's like the brand. The obvious
and that's a
brand.
Global brand, so yes. That's why I'm thinking.
Let's see here.
But I also think it could possibly just be Q10. That's it.
Yeah.
Like the Scrabble tile.
That'd be cool.
We
all ate that as candy as kids, right?
The Scrabble tiles?
Yeah, the Scrabble tiles. When you knew you were going to lose.
No. No, we didn't. We didn't all do that.
It's just me. Am I the only sore loser here?
That's it. I quit. maybe that'll be it. Android 10, quit. No, don't quit, Google. We still love you, even though you've given us plenty of reasons to be mad at you.
Just don't bake so many bubbles in the quiche.
Quiche.
That's all I hope.
Yeah, I keep thinking it's going to be, but I don't think it's going to be, because Hiroshi Lockheimer, friend of the show, used that as a joke.
Quiche?
Yeah. He did. It was him and Evan Blass, EB Leaks, another friend of the show. Mm-hmm. And they were both having a fun little back and forth Photoshop tour with
Hey, we were just talking about your brains. Just because we talk about you doesn't mean you have to hop into the show.
Sorry, guys.
It's okay. You're welcome anytime. Seriously, let's get you on for an interview or something.
Yeah.
We'd love to have you back. All right, let's go into our final sponsor. Thank our final sponsor.
Is this sponsoring of the episode. Our battle?
And then we are going to battle in the arena. So and we've got some good apps to show off. But first, this episode of All About Android is brought to you by Grammarly. I love Grammarly. Grammarly, it helps me. It helps me write better. Grammarly is a communication tool that helps people improve their writing to be mistake-free, clear, and effective. They encourage everyone, even the best students and top professionals, to use Grammarly to do their best work and accomplish even more of their goals. Grammarly is a writing assistant at its core. It makes you look and sound smarter. So you can start off the new year. We're a little bit into the new year at this point, but it's never too late to start a new habit and start a new approach to or making the decision that you're going to write better. You can easily improve yourself and your communication at school, work, and almost anywhere with Grammarly. They help people show their best self through writing and are available across platforms, including online browser extensions, desktop editor, and a mobile keyboard checker. So you've got it on mobile. You've got it on your computer. It's everywhere you need to be. Grammarly is available on multiple browsers. That's Chrome, Firefox, Safari, Edge, and platforms, of course, iOS, Android, Windows, Mac. So you're covered. All bases are covered. Their free product reviews critical spelling and grammar. Grammarly Premium looks out for more. Looks out for spelling, grammar, plus advanced punctuation, structure, style within context, vocabulary suggestions, conciseness, and readability for different occasions. So if you're writing a business proposal versus an academic essay versus a casual blog post, your styles are going to be different, and Grammarly knows how to correct around those different styles. You can accomplish your goals with help from Grammarly, so you stop making email typos on your phone, or maybe it'll help you close more deals at work because your emails actually read like you knew what you're talking about. You can polish your resume to get that new job. No one wants to hire the person with all the spelling and grammatical errors. And it's just the beauty of Grammarly is that it's always working and it's always kind of there in the background, but it's easy to interact with as it recognizes that there's a need to. So you're writing, you get that kind of familiar red squiggly line under a part of a sentence or a word or whatever. You hover over it, it gives you the suggestion, and you can choose to revert. It's just a really easily integrated solution for improving how you write. So go to grammarly.com/android. You can get 20% off your Grammarly Premium account today. That's grammarly.com/android, and you'll get 20% off your Grammarly Premium account. And we thank Grammarly for their support of All About Android. And now it's time for the arena.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So many enter.
I'm Spartacus.
Arena.
Really bad reference. I'm sorry, everybody.
I'm Spartacus. last week, I got demolished. twit.to/AAApoll414 is where you went to not vote for my app. And it looks like Curry Goat, of course, Mateo brought the Goat app.
What?
Curry Goat Revenge
What is
Christmas.
Happening here, America, look, and the rest of the world?
You know, it doesn't even have to be an amazing app. If it's got a goat and it's got Mateo, it's probably going to win.
Wait, who brought Spark?
Ron did.
Ron did.
That was a very timely.
Yes.
Yes. That's good.
Yes. Ron was looking
Ron
to
is
capitalize.
Very good at that.
well so done.
Curry Goat Revenge.
The new bumpers had something to do with it too.
What's that?
I think the new bumpers had something to do with it.
Yes.
The goat bumpers. Uh-huh.
Victor
sure.
went a little goat crazy last week and there were goats at every turn of the episode. So it kept goats on the mind of All About Android listeners. So that won 40% of the vote. Spark second. That's Ron, 35% of the vote. Firefox Send, that's yours, Flo. Mm-hmm. Third place, 17, almost 18%. And then mine, Fit to Fit,
I'll take it.
Was 7%, which is better than not being on the episode, which is what Ron is this time. So, you know, maybe it comes out in the wash. I don't know.
Current standing.
Yes.
So Wade County is out. Okay. According to Bleak in the chat, last week, Ron was at 23. You were, Jason, were at 29. And then I was tied with a guest at 37.
Okay. So that was last
week.
That
was last week. I mean,
Ron, second. So Ron County, probably did not pass me. So I'm thinking Ron's still I'm guessing the order is that Ron is still fourth, closer to me. I'm still third. Flo, you won? No, wait, no.
Ron won.
No, guess one. So guests are in the lead. You're second.
I forgot
I'm third,
how our
Ron's
points
fourth.
Work too, which is great.
Yeah, it's something like really, that. Who the heck knows? We're a mess when Wade County isn't in the chat room.
Yeah,
but Wade Bleak, County, thanks for
back.
Putting last.
Thank you, Bleak.
Results in there anyways.
For trying.
So
we'll figure it out next week.
So let's see here. So I will go first. I will show off my app, and then we'll go Joshua, and then we'll go Flo.
Okay,
cool.
Let's see here. Let me see if I can find it. All right. So my app this week is an app called Calendar Notify. I haven't shown off a calendar app in a really long time, but this one kind of crossed by me, and I thought I like its customizability. It is free. There's a paid version for, I think, $350 that adds more customization around it. But this is all about, basically, it's two things. It's bringing your calendar into your notification pane. Also bringing your calendar into a widget, which I actually haven't set up, so I'll set it up with you here in a second. But this is kind of the design process. This is where you go in to actually work on the widget itself. This is what you saw in my notification right there. And you can go in, you can customize how it operates, how things are shifted. Do I want the times to be on the one side versus the other? You know, it's pretty much your standard kind of customization options in here. I'm just kind of picking at random, but you can kind of fling it around. With the paid version, you can set a maximum event count of more than just, I think, 3 in the free version. So, you know, if you really want it to go deep, you can do that. All different types of ways to, you know, adjust the padding and the color layout. If you want to invert the colors, you're welcome to do that. All those things. Design settings, of course, more options around that. I mean, it's all about, you know, giving you the ability to really kind of get nerdy in order to do it. Or you can select from some of the built-in templates, which they have included. That'll allow you to just kind of jump right in or maybe be a good starting point. Let's say if you like something like that. So that will make it appear. It's a notification that doesn't go away. You can see how it all extended down here because I broadened it out. It gives you the amount of time until the next event and all that kind of stuff. So that's nice. You're shaking your head at me.
It's trash.
No, I'm kidding.
Ouch!
Oh boy! I'm sorry. I said you're shaking your head at me. It would have been better for me to say nothing. Let's see here. Calendar.
I'm installing it right now.
Calendar Notify. There we go. Hey, you remember widgets? Remember when people used to use widgets all the time?
Jason, well, you have a question in the chat. Can you customize the customization pages?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Why would you want to do that, Del Poco? Look for a different app. If what you want is to customize a customization page, then you're looking for an app other than Calendar Notify. Because this is all about the calendar. It's not about customization page. Maybe you need Customization Notify.
What is this? What? Linux?
What is happening?
Ooh, so there we go.
This has turned to Shade Court.
Anyways, there you go. If you want a new option for a calendar widget, widgets, fine. I don't really use widgets very much, but I like the idea of adding it into the notifications to have a quick access to your calendar and setting it up. Hey. That doesn't hurt. It's not that difficult. Calendar Notify is the name of the app. It's free. You can also get a paid version for $350 and expand on the customization. Damn, all right.
That notification, like that persistent notification, is one nice feature. When you were saying that, I was like, damn it. I got to do something. It's trash, Jason.
I think you're going to be okay. You've even got a story to back this up.
I do. Yeah. I do, actually.
Your app pick is really good. Tell us what you got.
It comes with a story because it's literally what I used to get here in the first place. So being up here, I'm usually in San Francisco City and for all the events and everything, and I love to come up to be on All About Android. But
an Uber from there to here?
He's expensive.
It's very expensive. It's very, very $80 expensive.
Oh,
yes. And I remember one time when you had housed me once when I was coming here. I took from SFO to your place. It was just so bad.
Oh my goodness.
It was like $130 or something.
Yeah. So I live really far.
Now that I'm on my own, as it were, saving money is very important. And I found out that there is somewhat of an Airbnb for cars. And I had known that this existed, but it wasn't until today that I actually used the app. It is called Turo. And I adore it because I just drove a 2009 Ford Fusion here with 100,000 miles on it. And it smells terrible inside because it's old. Not because anything bad happened, but it's an old car.
As far as you know.
Yeah, well, true. And you don't know.
That's the fun part.
You'll never know what bad things happen
in that
car.
It's like Airbnb. You never know what you're sleeping in.
Exactly. But you know what? It is a very easy and I don't want to show any of the information of the car and the owner of the car.
Right.
But you have the app here. It's very easy to go through. There are a lot of cars, especially in the San Francisco area. And as you can see here, $22 per day, you're saving so much money. You just have to drive yourself. And you know what? Coming from LA, I drive myself already.
Yeah.
When I'm a passenger, I get nauseous.
Same. I also get nauseous.
Yeah. So Ubers and Lyfts, as cool as they are, not really my thing because of that reason. So what you can do is you can add in your address. What I'll do is I'll just put in an arbitrary hotel in San Francisco City, and it shows you all of the cars that are.
Ooh,
near
get
you.
That Miata.
You know what? I wish that was there because for $40 a day, I got that Fusion. So if you look at the map, there are a ton.
Whoa.
Of
them. Yeah, those are all the people parking their cars monthly who take their car twice a month to the grocery store.
It's also a really cool system, though, because when I went to my... Okay, they're not all like this, but some of the time you might go to the car and the owner comes by and hands you the keys, you know, just sort of sees you in the flesh and just, you know. But Turo actually doctors the cars a little bit so that they can remote control them if they have to. So at the end of my reservation of the car I have right now at 10 p.m. tonight, Turo will just shut it down.
So what? You're on 101 and then just...
When I turn off the car next, after the 10 o'clock mark, I will not be able to turn it on again.
So you better have enough gas to get back. Mm-hmm. Oh.
So that's the thing.
You can't... steal it.
Well, in the middle of your reservation, it's super easy to just come into the app and extend your reservation if you need to use it for a longer time. And again, that price is per day. So it's not like the price will go up just because you add a couple of hours.
And you're not paying like for gas.
Well, you do have to top it up when you bring it back because, of course, they're going to have it ready for the next person.
Yeah.
Who, you know. And there is a fee if you bring it back and there's a lot of gas missing and they have to fill it up themselves. So you're going to end up paying
through the teeth. Yeah,
exactly.
On a per gallon basis.
But there's so many of them. And when I went to this car, the Fusion that I'm driving, the remote setup was that I had the app and it told me to take pictures of every side of the car clearly. And it would send it to the owner of the car through their app. And it's at that point they're like, oh, okay, this person that I'm renting to is at the car. That is them. It's not just someone trying to steal it. Hits unlock. The car unlocked right in front of me out of nowhere. I jump in.
Ooh,
and I was ready to go.
That's the future.
Yeah. And it was really
cool. Interesting.
It's such an easy app to use. I only downloaded it yesterday knowing that I was coming here
That was brave. So you were like, I'll try this new service. Mm-hmm. And
I wanted to vlog it, but then I realized holding a camera in one hand.
It's illegal.
Yeah, exactly. But I do highly recommend it if you're looking to save a little bit of money. It's always better to do something like this. It's like getting an Airbnb instead of a hotel.
Or borrowing someone's car. I mean,
literally.
I mean, it's cheaper than renting a car for a full day.
Exactly. This is actually a pretty highly rated app in the Play Store. So clearly that this has a following already and it's been reliable for a lot of people.
Wow.
There is also an apparatus for you to actually get in and be a renter, to put your car up.
Right.
You can do that as well, of course.
Hey, because if you're going to make $40 to $50 a day on your car that's just sitting parked in your driveway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why the heck not?
And then after this, I'll just top it up at a Costco, grab a hot dog, and then go.
Perfect.
All right. Oh, and bringing it back, I have to there is a system. I don't know what that system is yet because this is my first time using it. But they give
it's
you
probably a two-hour system.
What? I have to look around and make sure that all of the, there are no dings or anything like that.
Right.
You got to find parking in the city, so that's going to be.
Well, because the parking that you get the car from is just where you bring it back. And it's in a garage, and they pay for the like monthly parking for it.
Oh, okay.
The parking garage that I walked to was actually literally just that second or third floor of that parking garage was just for Turos and the competitor, which is Getarounds.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those were all those cars, all just waiting for remote pickup. So
that's just a garage that knew what it was doing. It was like, well, you know, you can have your like big old remote pickup cars like, yeah. here. Sure. Yeah. Right on. That
Save
is Turo.
Yeah.
Turo is the name of that app. And check it out. That's really cool. All right, Flo. I know for a fact that this was an app that Joshua swore out loud when he realized you had it.
Okay. Well, but here's
Did
the
I just
thing.
Out you?
Huh? No, Good. No, you're okay. fine.
Here's
okay.
the thing. Elder Scrolls is actually my favorite game.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, not yours.
I mean, I'm still playing through Skyrim on the Switch. I just love these games so much, and I was really excited when I saw that Bethesda had announced the Elder Scrolls Blades that was coming out. Now, this is kind of unreleased, kind of not. It's now available to everybody in the Play Store, so you can grab it, and if you like a game set in fantasy times and you just want to fight for the people, this is a good one. The Blades are actually a faction from the Elder Scrolls, and I guess they're on the good side for the most part. And so the plot of this game is basically like you'll be introduced to the plot. So this is my character. This is a Khajiit race. This is what I play as.
Sneaky.
Yes, I'm very sneaky. I like daggers. I like pickpocketing. But you can't do any of that stuff in this game. So this game is not the big RPG that you're used to on like the console or the PC. This is just kind of a bite-sized game, something to pass the time. And I've been really enjoying it. So you can play it two ways. You can play it this way or you can play it this way. But we're going to play it this way because that's how I like to play it. And we're going to go into town. And
let's go into town, everybody.
You'll see, if you're used to the Elder Scrolls lore, you will see the buildings will look very familiar to you. So what happened is this town has been obliterated. It's all been burned down. So the beginning objectives of the game are you are to collect material and things to help the town folk rebuild. You get to name the town whatever you want. I named mine Pollen Town.
Because you were sneezing.
It was on my mind. And I don't know why I named it, but that's what came up. That's what came to me.
I'm trying to help the bees here.
Exactly. You know, trying to give the bees some love. You can talk to folks. So getting around here, it's kind of a point, tap and point thing, or you can go this way, and I don't have it to turn over, so that's why it's not doing it. Let me see if I can do that real
it's
quick.
It's like a point-and-click interface. Yeah, there we go.
So, yeah, or you can do it this way, but I don't really like playing it this way.
Not a D-pad type?
Yeah, I'm not. I kind of enjoy the... There you go. No, stop. You're ruining
Come
my
on,
demo.
No. Just hold it upright. It'll
there
get
we
it.
Go.
There you
okay,
go.
Thank you. Gosh, I want to show you guys something, but I
want to see a battle.
Yeah,
you got to take on a quest for that, I believe.
Go ahead, click something.
All right, I level up my stamina. Okay, I claim some gold. Okay, sorry, that's so like boring. But if you've played Elder Scrolls, you know that this boring stuff is part of the game. Collecting gold, collecting things. You have a skill tree. Thank you. It says
RPG.
Right there. It's RPG-ish, so you get all of those effects in it. So, gosh darn it, you have to do a quest, and I don't have one to show you right now, which is totally ruining this demo. Oh, no, I do have one. JK. All right, we're going to go to the old Blade Master. He's going to give me something.
It's a fetch quest.
I'm going to tell my old mentor that I'm back. He's going to make me fetch something. So I'm going to talk to him here.
Let me tell
and
you a story.
Like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Okay,
and
we're talking.
It starts with this.
Yeah, sure.
Story.
Okay now I'm going to hit him. Now I'm going to fight him. So
okay, good.
This is how you fight. You basically hold down and you have to get the circle to a certain. Actually, Kotaku has a good write-up on some tips on how to play this game. I get a little bit of a vibration feedback to kind of know when it's like super powered up. And sometimes when I really get into it, I'll just start like swiping at them. You've also got a shield, which you can use, which you should definitely use. And then if you need to potion up, you can do that. What the game will do is if your health meter is going down super far, the game will pop up a little, hey, take a potion. And then you could just take the potion right in there instead of going into your inventory. Mm. This guy is really hard.
I was going to say, this guy seems like a difficult battle.
Oh, hold on. Release when the circle is full for critical hit. I am. Okay, this is a lot harder than I anticipated, I think, because I don't have... Oh, you know what? I don't have the sword for it yet to fight him.
Oh.
Yes.
So you'd be fighting
I'm
all
completely
day.
Ruining my demo for everyone out
it's okay.
there.
Okay, we got to see some action.
You know, that's literally the way that RPGs are. Like, you have to have the elements in place to succeed in the quests.
Ah, see, I was supposed to defeat him, but I don't have the... I don't know. I'll defeat him later.
Okay.
But basically, if you liked The Elder Scrolls, if you liked Skyrim, I know that came out, 2011? But again, people are still playing it. Yeah, I keep playing it over and over again. I'm going to have to kill this guy later. And it's got in-app purchases, but I haven't made any yet, unlike Animal Crossing, where I definitely fell into the in-app purchase hole, like ASAP. This one I've been kind of enjoying. They have replenish times, so you'll have to wait a little bit before some chests can be open. You'll have to wait a bit before you can do some quests. Some quests are, you know, based on the day that you can do them. There's a lot of dungeon crawling where you can kind of collect things and you kind of just tap to grab it. If you're used to Elder Scrolls games, you will have no problem playing this game. And again, I have found it very enjoyable. I'm really enjoying it. Mm. It's officially a part of my game roster now.
I remember seeing gameplay footage of this a month or two ago.
It was a little bit.
And people were writing about it and saying like it's a really great kind of like almost next generation mobile, you know, kind of not quite console quality, but...
I like the interpretation of it.
Kind of moving forward and the quality of the game.
It's definitely...
I mean, it reminds me of granted, the Switch is kind of old, but in its graphics power, but it reminds me of, you know, what I see on screen there. And it's just kind of nice to... If you're a fan of game franchises, as I am, I like to live in the world beyond the console. And so this really appeals to me because if I'm not feeling like jumping into the full RPG, I can just jump into this game to get my fill, my little fantasy fill, so...
Nice.
Yeah.
And it's unreleased, apparently. So according to the
Play
Store page.
It is and it isn't. It's definitely... So Arena Play isn't available yet. There's a lot of stuff that kind of still needs to... You do still need to register for early access at playblades.com.
It is open to everybody, but you're just registered.
It's open to everybody, okay. So you do need to register, but it's open to everybody. And it's working. And it looks really nice on this G8.
Nice.
So.
Very cool. Elder Scrolls. The Elder Scrolls.
Blades.
All right, so three apps this week, and it's your time to vote for your favorite app at twit.to/AAApoll415. Is it Calendar Notify, Turo, or the Elder Scrolls Blades? Truly, we covered the gamut.
I know.
This week. There are no two similar apps. So this will be interesting to see where Victor lands.
Victor
loves his calendar.
You know, all those meetings.
Yeah, I know. He's a busy guy. Apparently that vote does not register. But that's okay.
Yeah,
Turo.
Oh.
Got a vote. It's okay.
All right.
Login. Sometimes it's a little laggy. So twit.to/AAApoll415 is where you go. And we hope that you do. And we'll check in on it next week. Actually, I won't check in on it because I won't be here. But you will, Flo.
I will be here.
And so will Ron.
I won't.
You will not be here. Although your former colleague... David Immel will be here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So he's going to be
his first time on the show.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to love it.
So
from Android Authority, he's going to actually come up to the studio.
Yeah, it's going to be me and him in the chairs.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what's up.
And Ron on a TV screen. So tell us remind people where they can follow all your awesome work, what you're doing.
Should I run through the list?
Yeah, run through the list. I've
been diving into so many projects lately, but okay, the main thing is that I do have my own YouTube channel, youtube.com/Joshua Vergara, where I do tech and lifestyle reviews that include a little bit of health as well. I also work on Pocket Now, not only on the Pocket Now Weekly for their podcast as the main host, but I also do some videos for them from time to time. For example, the Black Shark 2 review, going to be on Pocket Now later this week.
Nice.
And then from there, I actually opened up another channel where I'm playing games, and Blades is my next game that I'm going to play on it. It's actually, I don't have the vanity URL yet because it's a super new channel. So if you go to YouTube and you search JV Plays Games, all one word, that's my gaming channel. On social, I am at JV Tech Tea. I'm JV. I love tech and I love to drink me some tea. Mud water on this one. Don't ask.
maybe not. Maybe not the mud water.
Yeah, but maybe not the mud. Not JV Tech mud water. No, it's not. JV Tech Tea. There's also a segment that I started on my Instagram called, on IGTV, called Spill the Tea, where every day I just react to stories throughout the day.
Oh, I like that.
So, yeah, like I wanted to do some raw reactions to things. So when I'm looking on my Google feed or Google News and something comes up, like the whole Borderlands 3 on Epic Games exclusivity thing, which really did upset me, I say it on camera. Yeah. I just wanted to have like a raw segment, and it's on my Instagram, so you can go there as well. So those are the main things, yeah. The last two things, the gaming channel, the IGTV segment, were the most recent.
Yeah.
Most recent developments for me.
Are you liking IGTV?
I am, because it's like...
I see you always have content in there when I go
now
into
the
tab.
Tea Tuesdays and Spill the Tea on all other days whenever there's stuff to react to. I like it because it's reminding me that I shouldn't think so hard about content.
Mm.
A front-facing camera.
Yeah.
Vertical. And then just cut it together using something like Rush.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to have something that's not so highly produced and I'm like losing my mind over it. And it's also an
it's
easy
a good
way.
Skill to build too.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a good way of practicing just being a little bit more natural and raw in front of the camera or in front of a microphone even.
Yep.
So yeah, me earlier saying trash, that was like a glimpse into like that. I'm comfortable saying those things because you know I don't mean it. It's just funny, you know, and that's the kind of stuff I want to have more often, you know, because I've always been very, people always say I'm very like collected in front of the camera, like right now.
You are.
Yeah. And not that I don't want to be, I just want to like have some fun with it too.
Yeah. Right on.
Let loose. Come on, Josh.
Oh, and on IGTV, all of those segments are all done on phones, and I say which phone it is. So if you're ever curious about the quality of a front-facing camera, the quality of a phone, then those are places that you can see that.
Nice.
Like my last one was on the Black Shark 2, so if you want to see what I mean that the microphone is great, you'll see it on that segment. So there's a little bit of benefit for everybody.
Now, when you're recording on the Black Shark, are you holding on to the controllers?
I wish I was. The one problem with the global version right now is it doesn't have the features that everyone in China enjoys, like game recording and streaming.
Oh, yeah.
If there was game recording, you would see that on my IGTV every day.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
For sure.
So great to get you up here. Thank you for swinging by. Next time you're in the area, are you going to be at Google I.O.?
No, I'm not going to push for it this time. Mm-hmm. Over the years, Google I.O. has become less and less consumer forward and more developer based, which is fine. It's perfectly fine. It's just that if I go, I'm going to be the ROI is not there.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing.
Well, next time you're in the area, let us know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And we would love to have you up here again. And Flo, what's new? What's cooking in Flo's kitchen?
I've just always got a lot of, I do too have a lot of projects going on at this time.
You do?
Yes, yes.
But I can't talk about them yet. Although I do have vanity URLs for them. Because I did do that. I that was the first thing I did. But no, I can't talk about them yet. But that's fine. You know, I am doing my thing.
Yep.
So you can come keep up with me at FlorenceLyon.com. This week I'm hoping to have a write-up on the LG G8. And recently I wrote about my experience at the Alt Summit, which was why I was away for a couple weeks ago. So if you want to go read that, you're more than welcome. And, you know, find me on Twitter and find me on the Real AFM network, too. I'm also
That's
on
right.
that network.
Oh,
I also
yeah.
have a podcast there.
Material.
I realize that I never talk. I don't.
I just did the same thing because I have my own personal podcast too. I didn't say it. So I'm right there with you.
Yeah. Okay, so then, what is the name of your podcast?
It's The Material Podcast, and I do it with Andy and Natko.
There you go.
And it posts every Thursday.
See? And then what's the name of your personal podcast?
the Tech and Tea podcast with Joshua Vergara.
See? There's no reason not to say those on here. This is like your time to say those
Jason's
things.
Building us up right now.
Yes,
it's
right. Because you guys are awesome.
It's making my face go red.
The eternal homie right here, for sure.
Well, you guys are awesome, and I love doing a show with you any chance I have the opportunity. So thank you. Thank you both.
Thanks, Jason.
And thank you, Victor, for always pushing the buttons, always talking during the news bumper and occasionally throughout. We appreciate you.
Oh, no problem.
thanks to Alex as well for
being our one audience member.
Yes, making us feel
so special. It means a lot
to
me.
Special.
I hope you know. It means a lot to me.
Thanks for glaring at us.
All the homies in the chat.
Yep. All the homies in the chat, thanks to YouTube. There they are, right there.
So we can see all your shenanigans.
I am filling in for Leo. Leo is out, so today I was on Security Now. Tomorrow I'm on This Week in Google. I'll be on with Jeff and Stacy, and we're going to have a great time. I always look forward to doing This Week in Google when I have the chance. So if you want to check it out, twit.tv/twig tomorrow, or check it out live at twit.tv/live. Which is the same place that you can go to watch all of our shows recording live, including this one, 5 p.m. Pacific every Tuesday. Voicemails, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us emails at AAA@twit.tv. Find our Arena apps list at twit.to/Android apps. All the apps that we've ever featured in the Arena over the many years are listed there. So it's a fun list to go through. Show notes and past episodes can always be found at probably the most important place on the web as regards to this show, as twit.tv/AAA. There you can find all of our episodes, subscription links, you know, how to subscribe to audio, video feeds, our recording times, like I told you, pretty much everything that you need to know about this show is listed there. twit.tv/AAA. And I think that is about it. So we'll stop there. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye. I'm going to try and do your thing. Is this how you do it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wait.